Genius of Discipleship. Chapter 3. The Second 3 Days of Creation. Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 21. Day 4. Signs and Seasons. Genesis 1, verses 14 to 19. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament, the expanse, of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. On days 4 to 6, the pattern of God's work in preparing the earth for habitation on days 1 to 3 is repeated. Just as day 1 saw light appear on earth, so day 4 sees a greater light appear. Just as day 2 saw the separation of the waters, so day 5 saw fish beneath the water and fowl in the sky. Just as day 3 saw dry land appear out of the waters and vegetation upon the land, so day 6 saw animal life upon the land, and then men as trees. Mark 8, verse 24. That the greater and lesser lights are the sun and moon made to rule over the day and over the night is confirmed in the Psalms. Psalm 136, verse 7 to 9 says, To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth for ever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth for ever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth for ever. Given the power and influence of the sun and moon, it's not surprising that peoples who are in ignorance of the true God made them their gods and worshipped them. After all, there would be no life without the power of the sun. The sun drives the winds and ocean currents, which bring warmth, cooling and rain, the water cycle, upon the earth. The moon causes the tides. These are all part of the refreshing and cleansing processes vital to the well-being of every living thing. But we who know the creator of the sun, moon and stars as the greatest power in the universe could not possibly worship any other. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, says the Lord in Matthew 5, verses 45 and 48. Critically, the luminaries were not named, but termed the greater light and the lesser light, and the stars are mentioned in a seemingly offhand way. Evidently, this was done to deny any suggestion that these were deities, but rather were God's servants to support life on earth. Surely it is more sensible to worship the Creator rather than the created. Notice that, from God's perspective, the lights are firstly for signs. From a human perspective, the seasons, days and years are important in themselves. As the Apostle Paul indicates when he refers to day 4, ye observe days and months and times and years. Galatians 4, verse 10. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, that is, observances of feasts, etc., under the law of Moses, which, Paul says, are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Colossians 2, verse 16 to 17. But to man generally, signs don't enter into the equation. Being for signs indicates that the sun stands for God in the first instance. After all, he is the light, though subsequently the sun also represents the Lord Jesus Christ as ruler and light of the world. The moon stands for the priesthood, who, having no light of their own, reflect the light of the sun and teach the people who are in darkness. The stars represent Israel and the true saints, who are Israelites indeed. Genesis 15, verse 5, and John 1, verse 47. Three initial points about this day. First, that the clouds thin sufficiently for the sun, moon, and stars to be seen when man would be formed. We say this because the sun, moon, and stars had been created in the beginning, before the first day. There could be no evening, morning, if the sun was not there. Secondly, the word Asa, made, is deliberately used instead of created, because this day continues the work begun in the beginning. Thirdly, we know that the earth was revolving upon its own tilted axis, otherwise there would be no seasons. The first point is confirmed in the Old Testament book of Job. Also, can any understand the outspreadings of the clouds, or the noise, the thunder of his tabernacle? Behold, he spreadeth his light upon it, and covereth the bottom of the sea. For by them judgeth he the people. He giveth meat in abundance. With clouds he covereth the light, and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt. The noise thereof showeth concerning it, the cattle also concerning the vapour. This in Job 36, verse 20 to 33. And again, this time in Job 37, verses 10 to 21. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straitened. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round by his counsels, so they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for his mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them, and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancing of his clouds, the wondrous works of him that is perfect in knowledge? Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong, and as a molten looking glass? And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Our second point, however, is that the Hebrew word for made is Asa, not bara, create. This distinction is significant and must not be ignored. The words, "and God made two great lights," might be thought to imply that the sun and moon were not made until the fourth day. And that would be a contradiction of verse 1. The word Asa is correctly translated as made, but primarily means to do, fashion, or accomplish. It is commonly used of man's activities as well as God's. The word bara carries the thought of the initiation of the object involved. It always connotes what only God can do, and frequently emphasizes the absolute newness of the object created. The word Asa is much broader in scope, connoting primarily the fashioning of the object with little concern for special nuances. The use of bara in the opening statement of the account of creation seems to carry the implication that the physical phenomena came into existence at that time and had no previous existence in the form in which they were created by divine fiat. The use of Asa may simply connote the act of fashioning the objects involved in the whole creative process. See word number 1708, the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. As John Thomas suggests in his book Elpis Israel, the clouds that had risen above the earth on day two now thinned. The sky became clear. To an observer from earth, it would appear as if the sun, moon, and stars had just been created since they had not been seen before. But the change in the Hebrew word prevents misunderstanding. Probably the idea conveyed is found in the psalmist's words. He appointed Asser translated only twice by appoint. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, or put darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. It is not made. And it is night. The sun ariseth. Man goeth forth to his work and to his labour until the evening. Psalm 104, verse 19 to 23. In other words, the fourth day is a continuation of what was begun on the first day. There is no point in describing events as if seen from God's viewpoint, as this would be far more difficult, if not impossible, for us to comprehend. There is wisdom in the way God has revealed his work to us. This record is written for our benefit, not his. For signs and seasons. But the lights were said to be for signs. The sun, moon, and stars were not just to give light on earth, but also enlightenment. As an example, consider the case of Joseph's dream. Behold, I dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. To which his father Jacob immediately understood and replied, Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee in the earth? All this in Genesis 37. A second example comes from the Apostle Paul, who read, But if our gospel be hid or veiled, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that is, sin, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, our bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All this by Paul in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 7. Further examples of the signs or special events are those that occurred at Jesus' birth, the star in the east, Matthew 2, verse 2 and verse 9. At his baptism, when heaven was opened, Matthew 3, verse 16. The darkness for 3 hours when he was crucified, Matthew 27, verse 45. And at his coming, though unseen, in AD 70, at the destruction of Judea and Jerusalem. For Matthew records in chapter 24, verse 29 to 30, Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We see that the signs do relate particularly to Messiah's reign and the Lord Jesus' first advent, when he established the new covenant through his blood. Of this new covenant, Jeremiah writes, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. But I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me for ever. The expression, and for seasons, is important too. For without the sun we would have no calendar. Israel would not know when to hold their feasts, and without days and years we would not be able to hold our memorial meeting in remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week to coincide with his resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ is termed the Sun of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Malachi 4 verse 2. Believers or saints are spiritually the moon, reflecting morally the light of this sun during the darkness of this world's night due to ignorance of God's ways. But a greater day is coming. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. This will lead to a world of dazzling light, in which, spiritually speaking, not literally, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Isaiah 60, verse 2 and 3, and verses 19 and 20. Interestingly, in Genesis 1, verses 14 to 15, the sun, moon, and stars are not in heaven when we see them, but in the firmament of the heaven. So in the Bible, God's coming kingdom is not to be in heaven itself, but it will be a heavenly kingdom on earth. This glorious dominion of God's Son is spoken of in many of the Psalms, particularly in the context of creation in Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, Hebrews 2 verse 9, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Yahweh our Lord, the Hebrew Adon for Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 8 verses 1 to 8. The Lord Jesus is, as he claimed to be, the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, he says in John 8 verse 12. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. John 12 verse 35 to 36. The Lord said in his discourse on the mount, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5 verse 14 and verse 41 to 45. The Creator arranged that the energy that sustains all life comes from the sun's light and rule. From this Paul draws out the principle. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2 verse 15. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Ephesians 5 verse 8 and 9. Summary of the meaning of the fourth day. Genesis 1 verse 14 has told us that the sun, moon and stars are for signs. The lights being for signs, as we have seen, let me summarise what I have written. The greater light refers to God and also refers to his Son when he came. We have the higher duty of giving light where previously God alone was light. At our Lord's coming in power and greater glory, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever, Daniel tells us in chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. And like the stars, we're all different, as Paul said, speaking of those resurrected from the grave, when his Lord comes, there will be one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41. God is the source of light. He is the great light, and his Son, the Lord Jesus, is the reflection or manifestation of it, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, Hebrews 1 verse 3. As the manifestation of his Father, they are not equal. Jesus Christ said, "My Father is greater than I." Jesus' ruling passion in his life was, "Not my will, but thine be done." In so doing, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We can do no less than take up our cross daily. In this we fulfil the third reason for the lights given on the fourth day. That is, to divide the light from the darkness. Once again, if we are to be counted among the righteous, there is an emphasis on us separating ourselves from the world that lies in darkness, and from their works, as Paul says in Ephesians 5 verse 8 and verse 11 and chapter 6 verse 12. When the Lord Jesus Christ arrives in Jerusalem from Sinai with his newly resurrected saints, John describes their progress as the way of the kings of the east, or more accurately, kings from a sun's risings, Revelation 16 verse 12. The Lord is the Son who will cause his saints to rise from their graves, so that his and their light will shine forth in the rescue of Israel in its time of greatest crisis at Armageddon. Daniel 12, verse 1 to 3. Our final word about the fourth day is taken from Ecclesiastes. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after rain. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 7 to 8. Day 5, Fish and Fowl in Sea and Sky, Genesis 1, verses 20 to 23. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly," literally, swarm, "the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly," literally, fly, "above the earth in the open firmament of heaven," that is, in the lower atmosphere. These fish and fowl were made after their kind, as had been the trees and shrubs on day 3. And God saw that it was good. Kind indicates that there was not one, but many species made. Good means that there was not going to be any change over millennia. There is no room here for macroevolution. Fish and fowl were also brought forth abundantly. Despite this, God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." Why would they be blessed in reproduction? Firstly, because without reproduction, fish and fowl would eventually die out. Secondly, because in this way they would complete God's work in fulfilling the earth with their kind. A similar idea is expressed by the Lord Jesus when speaking of the mustard seed. He says, "Which when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Matthew 13:31-32. So shall the nations eventually come and shelter in Christ's kingdom on earth. Jesus also called his disciples and told them that they were to become fishers of men, to forward the teaching of the gospel. And God created, the word barra here, great whales, from a root to elongate, literally, large sea creatures such as the blue whale, which is up to 30 metres long and can weigh 185 tonnes, and giant squid, and every living creature that moveth. Verse 21. This is the first time the word barra, created, has been used since verse 1. God, as their creator, is superior and more powerful over all things, even over the very largest. Being living creatures, they would subsequently come to represent different characteristics of people and nations. We find this from Isaiah 27 verse 1, 51 verse 9, Ezekiel 32 verse 2, Daniel 7 verse 2 to 7. In Job, the Lord challenges Job to do what he does. Can Job abase and control a proud man represented by great animals such as Behemoth? Behemoth is probably the hippopotamus, which, I understand, still kills more people than any other animal. Can he catch and control the wicked represented by Leviathan? Probably the crocodile. No, only their creator can do this. So be humbled. It is appropriate that the word create is used to indicate a new beginning, the creation of living creatures, which will lead on day 6 to the creation of man in his own image. All these are termed living creatures. The Hebrew words are nefesh chayah, living soul or creature. This is significant because the same Hebrew words are used to describe man as a living soul in chapter 2, verse 7. Obviously, the words do not carry the idea that there is an immortal soul, of which the Bible says nothing, but that, like the fish, birds and animals, chapter 1, verse 30, man is simply a living, breathing creature. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn unto dust again, we read in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 19 to 20. The events of the fifth day once again emphasize the division between the waters below and the heaven above. Each was to have their own realm. As the Apostle Paul puts it, "As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." In this passage, Paul is not saying that saints will go to heaven, but that heaven represents the realm of the spiritual, the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 48 to 49, Matthew 6, verse 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6. All that God did in reforming the earth and then populating it with living fish, fowl, and on day 6, animals, is in preparation for man and woman to inhabit the earth and have an abundance and variety of food. An example of this is given by the Lord Jesus when, after they had been fishing from their boat all night and caught nothing, he directed his disciples where to fish, so that their net now caught 153 great fishes. We read in John 21, verse 11. The Lord specifically asked Peter to count the fish because the number is remarkable. It is a triangular number, triangle of 17. That is, adding all the numbers from 1 to 17 equals 153. And because Hebrew and Greek letters are also numbers, the name Simon Jonas is said to equal 153. That is 118 plus 35. A number of other suggestions have been made, including the Hebrew phrase Beniha Elohim, meaning sons of God. In particular, the name of Bezalel, who was given the Spirit to build the tabernacle, this is in Exodus 35, verses 30 to 35, is by gematria the number 153. The number of builders for Solomon's temple was 153,300, we find in 1 Kings 5, verses 15 to 16. In John's Gospel, the 153 great fish represent the saints who comprise the true and living temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:16, Ephesians 2, verse 20 to 21, Hebrews 3, verse 6. On the fifth day, God twice says, after their, or his, kind, and then, God saw that it was good. These expressions match our experience of nature. There is variation within species due to breeding, etc., but definitely no macro evolutionary changes, whether atheistic or theistic. That birds and animals were made to live in different habitats and climates, and therefore fill the earth, is implied in the Bible record. And the evening and morning were the fifth day. It was altogether a wonderful day, as such an amazing variety of living animals were created to populate the lower heaven and the seas. Here is abundant testimony to the existence of a marvellous Creator with infinite power and ingenuity.